Blog Talk Radio.
Well, I don't know whether you like the music or not, but that's the way we start the show. Hi, everybody. My name's Larry Jacobs, and this is Corporate Training Talk Radio. We appreciate you listening today or on the archives. Here we cover training, HR, and corporate leadership. We got an interesting show today. We've got my friend Kathy Garland from Advance 360, the LMS, which not only is great in corporate training, but it's also great in education. As many of you know, we do have Education Talk Radio, which covers K-20, and we're going to be archiving this show at two places. First of all, whenever we do a show here in Corporate Training Talk Radio, we archive the show at our website, which is corporatetrainingradio.wordpress.com, corporatetrainingradio.wordpress.com. We always put our schedule over there as well. And as you'll see, when we're done this show, we'll switch to the next show. We got Howard Prager coming on tomorrow talking about crisis management. Today is Today is June 10th. Today is June 10th, 2015. So Howard will be on June 11th. Okay, and we'll look forward to that. We're going to archive the show as well on Education Talk Radio, which is available to you at education-talkradio.org. Education-talkradio.org. For corporate training, if you'd like to be a guest, please don't hesitate to email me. Thanks to all the people that do at hrandtrainingradio@gmail.com. hrandtrainingradio@gmail.com. Our Twitter address, where we send out a direct link before and after every show, is hrtrainingradio, @hrtrainingradio. Please follow us, and we'll follow you in return. And for the next 30 minutes or so, you'll enjoy this show with a guest and a good friend of mine, Kathy Garland. Let me bring her on right now. Hi, Kathy. It's Larry.
Hello, Larry. How are you?
I'm fine. I know where your accent is from. You must be from Canada.
Right, exactly. Yeah, sure. Sure, Canada. Uh-huh.
Yeah, okay, right. No. Very good. Yeah. You're not from Canada, right? You're down south, my dear, aren't you?
Born and raised, that's right.
Hard to believe with that accent. It's hard to believe. Kathy Garland is the Vice President of Sales and Marketing at Advance, ED, like education, EDVANCE 360, one of the leading learning management system providers. Advance 360 LMS is a top 10 tool for online learning, it was judged, and also it was this year's winner, and I was sitting right behind. What was that young lady's name at the Cody Awards? I can't remember.
Ashley, yes.
Ashley, beautiful Ashley. Tell her I said hello. And
will
Ashley was called to the stage to pick up one of the coveted Cody Awards at the Software and Information Industry Association meeting in San Francisco earlier this year. And you guys won as being the best post-secondary learning solution. And as we know, there's a great crossover between the education world and the training world. Actually, they're one and the same. And so that's why
I like
to do these shows with the LMS companies, because what works in one place normally works in the other. I'm going to let you talk about Advance 360, which is a great product, and also the future of corporate learning and how it fits in. And first of all, what was your reaction when you won the Cody Award? You must have, gone nuts. Did she call you right away?
Well, we were watching live, because, you can stream now, and everybody was gathered around watching it. We were excited, but, we won back in 2011 as well. And each year, we've actually been finalists. So, being in the top 3 to 5 each year over year. For me, I was excited about winning the award, of course. But for me, I'm a consistency person, and being consistently in the top, being consistently a finalist, 7 years running, to me that's more important. But we were pretty excited eating popcorn and watching it live.
That's great, and well explained, too, I might add, Kathy. Before we go further, tell us, by the way, Advance 360 is advance360.com if you want to check it out. And they tweet at Advance360LMS, just so you know that, Advance360.com. All right. And Kathy, give us, if you can, a quick history of the company, how long you've been there, et cetera, just so people can put it into perspective.
Sure. Yeah, we started 10 years ago as a social networking company. which 10 years ago, you know, the whole world was not even aware of social networking. And we were on the front lines coining words like, social learning. You know, we said that word to a bunch of schools and corporations who were implementing online learning terribly, you know, failing at it. And we said, you know, use these social learning tools to help connect you and your material with your users, your learners. And that was 10 years ago. People looked at us a little cross-eyed because they didn't even know what social learning meant. You know, So, you know, 10 years ago, that's what we did. But then they came right back to us and they said, you know, this is what we've been missing. But nobody wants to use two different software systems, a course management system, which is what they were called at the time, and then these social learning tools that we had developed. And so we combined the two together, and thus Advanced Recipient was born, which really we call ourselves an LMS because everybody knows what that means. We're more of a networked learning environment, which is a little bit different. Exactly. It's more of a European term. You'll hear it in Europe a little bit more. Our European corporations, they call it a networked learning environment, which is more of an ecosystem.
I like that term. I frankly have never heard that term, network learning environment. I like that. That's pretty good. And describe for everybody, and people know LMSs. They know what that is. They've seen them. There were a lot of them. Excuse me, exhibiting at ATD. But, Kath, just describe, if you can, Advanced 360.
Yeah, okay. So basically, we get asked into corporations that have already had usually a couple of LMS tries, a failed intranet, and usually some other social tool like Yammer or something else like that. Because there's some corporate directives. They want to be collaborative. They want their employees to learn. They want retention. Mm-hmm. They want the onboarding process to be less expensive. So we come in, and usually another leader has come in or yet another failed experiment. And they come to us and they say, we need a new one. And so we start asking questions. We want to figure out, why did the last one fail? And the reason we do this is because everybody just jumps from one silver bullet to the next, and it's not usually just the LMS that's a silver bullet. It's usually leadership, team, buy-in, the whole works. And so when we go in, we start asking things like, what are the enterprise software systems that need to be integrated? Again, talking about an ecosystem. Do you have an intranet? Mm-hmm. Can you get rid of the intranet? Can you replace it with our learning management system? Those kinds of things. So Advanced 360 has all the learning management system tools that you expect, the ones that manage the course, like grade books for higher ed, reports and dashboards for corporations, et cetera. But then it's based on a secure social network, and it's got collaborative communities and wikis and all these kind of, he used to call it Web 2.0, but that's now even kind of a term that nobody uses anymore. But all these collaborative tools. And it's all in one fell swoop so that you have one login, one place, and you don't go to, you know, three different places to get three different things in the corporation, which doesn't work. And you're tracking the people using it. It's for just-in-time learning. You know, if I got salespeople out on the field, they can get onto the LMS and get the five-minute little quick little scenario thing that they need, not to do a one-week course. So it takes care of everything from hybrid courses to live courses, what we call it butts and seat courses, right? You know, where you're onboarding an employee and they're sitting in front of you, all the way to the self-paced courses.
Okay, this is very cool. And I have to ask, after you go in there and they agree to purchase the Advanced 360, usually what questions come up after that? I mean, and the reason I'm asking that is I know you guys go in, you ask the questions, you try to set it so it makes sense. You work with HR, you work with the corporate training department, et cetera. But there must be things that come up afterwards. And that's always a top question that people ask, you know, what happens after I purchase a product? All right, because I know you're working hard to get it right when you walk in the door, but obviously things come up, and unanticipated things, you know, oh, we forgot to do this, we just had a question about this. Well, what happens afterwards? What are the typical things they ask?
I find that those are the questions that they ought to be asking at the beginning, to be honest with you.
Of course.
So we try to ask them at the beginning, of course, right? But I find that usually it's questions such as, what happens when my employee who's in charge of the LMS leaves me? Who do I train next, and how do I get them trained, and do I have to pay for that? And, oh, really, the training's been recorded, and I can access it, very good. You know, so it's those kinds of questions. I think also it's questions like, what tools are being used and which tools are not being used, and how do I get my employees to use it? And the answer to that question is, are you using those tools? So if a leader asks me, why are my employees not using the tools, I ask them immediately, are you using that tool? Because more often than not, and I would say almost every time I ask the question, the leader's not using them either, and there's the answer to your problem.
There it is. You know, you lead by example, as the old cliche goes, you lead by example, you know?
Yeah, it's all about trust. It is.
Yep. And, you know, how do I want to phrase this question? You know, once a leader, all right, starts using it, all right, is it easy to train people on it? I mean, do people feel comfortable? And I know it's kind of a leading question, but there's got to be a comfort level with this type of thing.
There does.
All right,
how easy is it to
learn? And talk about what you guys do in regards to that sort of thing to help them along with a tech desk or whatever.
We have to hands-on training, so we've kind of perfected it over 10 years here. The first thing we do is we train the administrators, and they get things set up. You know, a lot of times training in software is a list of all the features that you go through and you tick off, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, you know, hundreds of features, and how do they work.
Right.
Our training is not like that. That's the worst way to deploy an enterprise-wide system. So what we do is we first get the administrators set up. You know, they got their settings and their customizations and everything looks the way they want it. The course is in there. It's ready to deploy. And actually during the training, they are learning to build the courses, because sometimes we go into a small corporation, they've never had an LMS, so we got to teach them how to use it. So they never, you know, even though it's drag and drop, what are they dragging and dropping? And should there be an order? And you know, there's some kind of pedagogy to this. So that's where
I have to say, Kath, the term drag and drop sounds awfully easy, okay?
Yes.
But you need to know what you're doing about that and what
you
to drag
to
and where to
doing.
Drag it and all that sort of thing. Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, and what direction do you want these people to go into, especially when you're starting to start deal with adaptive learning, when you're setting up not only path A, but also path B, C, D, and E, where depending on what your employee is doing and how they're answering questions, you're opening up different paths. Then it starts getting really complicated. So setting that aside, we train the administrators and then the users. And what we try to do with the users is we try to keep the software so simple that they don't have to go through the training. They go through one little welcome email that tells them to click on something, and then it just goes. It should launch. It should be so obvious that they don't need training. But that's what we found over the years to be the most useful. And then, you know, as far as training people afterwards is reports. I mean, there must be 1,000 reports in the system, and then dashboards and everything else. So, you know, it's all about reporting after that.
And let me ask, that's actually a good question. You just said there's like 1,000 reports in there. And obviously, quite obviously, nobody's going to sit and fill out 1,000 reports after their training. Does the LMS at Advanced 360, does the LMS automatically fill in on, I'll call it assessment, okay? Does it fill in on assessment and reports, or how's that done? How does anybody know it's moving forward?
Yeah, it all fills in. And I think one of the keys to reports I've found for corporations is they're always asking for something that nobody else has ever asked for.
Of course.
Where, you know, right, it's just one of those things. And so instead of us saying over the years, yes, we can give you that report, or give us a second, we'll make you that report, or something like that, which always feels like you're building something out of thin air, and you don't want to do that.
Right.
We actually created this My Reports area where they can add their own data points themselves, whatever data point is, and it automatically throws it onto our tables on the back end. So they're not having to do any programming. We're not having to do any programming, but it makes it the report suddenly can start tracking. I mean, I have a client who tracks height, weight, eye color, and hair color, and it's not a dating thing. It's a physical therapy program, and the height, weight, eye color, hair color has to match what's on the state records. So we weren't tracking that. I mean, nobody before that would ever track that, but they needed
right.
it, so they added it. But rather than them having to contact some tech person, you know, tech team and wait for it, they were able to add it in a split second, and then from there on start tracking.
It's really interesting. I have to ask this because you brought this up before. You talked about network learning environment, and you talked about kind of social media. That's sort of the way it got started, social networking.
Mm-hmm.
And this
mm-hmm.
this must be a question that comes up a lot, and it must come up from K-12, kindergarten through 12th grade, higher ed, and into corporate. All right, about security. Okay, is there any questions that come up or anything people need to know about the privacy of the data? I mean, just last week, the government workers got hacked by the Chinese, okay, with the social security numbers and all that. So nobody's asking you to be a miracle worker, but just talk, and because people need to feel secure with these things. Talk about the security of it. Or the security aspect.
There's two sides to that. Yeah, there's two sides. There's the technical aspect, and you'd have to ask my CTO for all the special words that go with all that. There's this amazing amount of encryption, and we're hosted. We happen personally to be hosted through Equinix, EQUINIX.com, which is world class. I mean, that's where Amazon and Google are.
Sure.
But can Amazon and Google get hacked? You bet. They're probably big targets. I mean, the other side of that is, really, you're going to get hacked someday. The chances are ever increasing that some Chinese government probably is going to come after you sometime. I think my own personal information has been hacked 3 times in the last 6 months. One from
I know,
Blue
and
Cross
by the way,
Shield.
I'm using your credit card. I'm using your credit
exactly.
card, and I just bought my
exactly.
wife some beautiful things at Bloomingdale's. I meant to thank you for that. Thank you. I forgot about that.
It's happened. Right. I mean, it's going to happen. You just need to monitor your stuff, okay? And then the other thing is the LMS does not need to be tracking those things, all right? There should not be inside the LMS any personal data other than maybe the person's email. You should not have social security. I mean, that's against the law now. But I think at one point in time, user IDs in LMSs and CMSs were the students' social security
right.
numbers, which
right.
gives me the heebie-jeebies just to think about now.
And by the way, let me just make the point. We put our names and social security numbers and other identifying factors all over the World Wide
all
Web.
Over.
All of us do it, and it's out there. But it must be a question in this day and age that comes up to you,
it
and
is.
That's why I wanted to ask it. Yeah. You know, because it's scary. And like I said, no company, okay,
nobody.
Can give a 100% assurance. It is absolutely impossible
no.
to do that.
It's
but
reactionary.
Yeah, it is. It is. And what's important for people to know is that you guys are on top of it at 100% level, best you can be. Okay?
So far,
but
we've
the
never
guy
been
in,
hacked ourselves. It'll happen someday, but so far we've never been having. We had some students try to hack it one time, I think a long time ago.
Oh, really?
Yeah, but that was kind of an interesting situation with some upset students at a university. But, I think that's the worst that's ever happened.
That's actually interesting. You know, it used to sneak in at night and change the report card, you know, from an A to a B, or from B to an A, not from an A to a B.
I think that's what they were doing.
Yeah, times have changed. Believe me, times have changed. That's why the Chinese kids do so well. Okay, why they're always hacking into the grades. You know, just incredible. Okay, but at any rate, it's all really interesting. Talk for a minute, Kat, because we've been talking about corporations here. Talk about how you work with schools and school districts. And by the way, one thing that I think is really important and many times overlooked. Whenever we talk about an LMS in a school, Kathy, we're always talking about it, how it's going to work for the students, the teachers and the students. They're going to get information, blah, blah. But school districts, just like any other entity, have to do training. Okay. In fact, they do too little, and I'm not just talking about professional development. I'm talking about actual training, safety
mm-hmm.
training, emergency training,
yep.
all that sort of thing.
Yep.
And I hope
sexual harassment, all that.
Exactly. Exactly. So the challenges of a corporation go right back into school districts. They have the same. They are basically
mm-hmm.
businesses, corporations. Mm-hmm. So when you do K-12, all right, or actually I should say K-20 through the university system. When you go in there and talk to universities and school districts, okay, what's the difference in what you say to them as opposed to a corporation? Is there a big difference in how it's approached?
Well, I would say the first thing that's a big difference is the price, and that is probably a dirty little secret for learning management system world. But as far as the terminology, the vocabulary is different. And corporations, they're not too hung up on vocabulary, I've noticed. But higher ed is extremely hung up on vocabulary. If I happen to accidentally say the word teacher instead of professor in a higher ed environment, I will be corrected. Because they're not teachers, they're professors. I'm not sure exactly what a professor does other than teach, but evidently it's something else. Yeah. Yeah.
They profess, well, excuse me, as Steve Martin used
exactly,
to do.
Exactly,
excuse
yeah.
me.
But the
you
big
know?
Difference is actually price. Since the features are the same, I mean, yeah, you don't call it a transcript, but you call it records in corporate. You don't call it a grade book in corporate. You call it a pass-fail grade. You know, and they don't actually do much with a grade book. They have it set up once and they never, you know, touch it again because everything's graded automatically. There's no essays and papers usually, but, you know, sometimes there is. I have seen it more and more lately. But the price is a big difference.
Which one is, when you say the price is the big difference, is K-12 less or more expensive than K-20? I keep saying it, K-12. K-20 more or less expensive than corporate or vice versa?
K-12 and corporate are about the same usually.
Yeah.
It's higher ed that's way
higher
different.
Ed.
Higher ed is way more expensive. For example, they have a disease that makes them want to pay more. I'm not sure why, and if it's curable.
Take the money.
I don't mind. When I first came on board, the first thing I did was drop our prices because I felt that, you know, we wanted to appeal to Bible colleges and seminaries, which didn't really have a whole lot of budgets, and nonprofit schools, et cetera, and the immediate was expensive enough, it must not be worth it. So for my higher ed, I take the corporate price and add 2 zeros, basically. In
wow.
cases. So, yeah, it's the way it goes. Plus, a corporation knows how to negotiate.
Yeah, they do. They do. And that's actually, it's been a free-for-all in higher ed, okay, for too long. And that's an astounding piece of information. And it by the way, speaks volumes about what's going on in higher ed. It's just incredible. All right. So K-12 and corporate are pretty much the same. You said something. By the way, are you going to go to the ISTE conference, the Educational Technology Conference? Will you be there in Philadelphia in a couple of weeks?
I should
be. Are you going to have a booth?
No, I'll just be there.
Well, try to find me. I'll be wearing my Panama hat through the conference hall.
Okay.
If you see somebody with a Panama hat who looks just like Brad Pitt, say hello.
I'll find you.
Okay. Good enough. You know, you said something before that struck me in my interest, and I made a note about it here. You were talking about features, and I was curious. And what you're going to say, you can extrapolate out to almost every LMS. Okay, what's the most used feature? Let's go back to corporate. And what's
corporate.
The least used? Yeah, and what's the least used feature that should be used more often?
That's good. Those are good questions. All right. So the first one is the most used feature. Believe it or not, in corporate, and I actually have some facts and figures to back this up, not only from me, but just recently reached from Capterra. They have an excellent survey that they put out on the status of learning management systems right now.
Oh, wow. Neat.
Yeah, it's some good information, but I know that test and assessment are the number one used feature. And you say, okay, well, that's kind of a no-brainer, but it is the most used feature. It's not the most used feature in higher ed. the most you feature in higher ed is actually your discussion, because they're, you know, looking to have synthesis and debate and things like that, which is good. But in corporate, it's definitely the assessments and tests. And then I think the one that they're looking for the most is a video conferencing piece, because they're all wanting to do hybrid courses. So if you're an LMS and you don't have the piece, then, or if you're in my case, you integrate with all the pieces out there, Adobe Connect and all the others out there, plus mine comes with one. So, you know, you get your pick of the litter, whichever one you want. That's probably the thing that people ask for the most, I find. And then the one that they ought to be using the most is gamification. And I think I'm using that term as generally as possible. You could say
that's
social learning, too. Yeah. Social, the way to make learning fun, interactive, whatever it takes to do that. There's a lot of buzziness about that word. And really the bottom line for social learning is meeting where the learners actually are and making it fun.
And can we carry that K-20 through corporate,
yes.
I would imagine.
Oh, yes. Imagine, yes. And with millennials, you know, I feel like every time I read an article about millennials versus the others, there's a lot of puzzlement around millennials. I'm not a millennial. I'm a Gen Xer. But the millennials are dumbfounding the leadership at these corporations because, A, they don't really care to be on the C-suite. It's just not innate in them. They're totally fine with moving sideways in a position, not up. You know, so there's just a lot of differences, and they're having a really hard time with it. And the training people have to deal with the brunt of this. They're doing the onboarding. They're doing the retention and the cost of losing one of these millennials. And, you know, as soon as these baby boomers retire, who's going to take the lead? You're going to have to raise these leaders up. So the training people are bearing the brunt of this. And so they're having to do things differently. For example, I know Procter & Gamble is big on their improving their performance with gamification and, you know, badges alone, but I know they're doing other things. And Hilton, for example, there's a whole article both on Procter & Gamble and Hilton in the Chief Learning Officer issue just this month. And they're doing things like leadership in 3 minutes or less, little short videos, kind of like TED Talks, and those kinds of bite-sized pieces where after you review them, you get a badge, you get to show your badge off in the leaderboard, which shows it off, you know, in the LMS. It's like just like the Seinfeld episode when George has his name on Frogger, you know, he wants to keep it. It's the psychological boost, you know, he's got to have it. This is what they respond to, because when they go home, they play Xbox. And they do this for fun. So you have to meet them where they are, and they are in making learning fun. So
you brought up a very interesting point. It's a point I really hadn't thought about, but when you said it a few minutes ago, you know, training used to be, someone would come in and speak to the group. Okay, there was very little assessment. There was a trainer that would come in and they'd run a program. Yes. It was great. And that still happens, and there's ATD facilitators all over the place.
Sure.
That's fine, okay? And you know that as well as I do, okay?
But that'll never disappear.
But the world, that's not going to disappear, and it shouldn't. But the world is changing, all right? And social networking, okay, it's taken over. And my question is, and I don't know if you know the answer to this, Kath, but as you go out there and you talk to all these corporations, and you can take a Procter & Gamble, but they're hiring, obviously, younger people. Obviously, other people are retiring, et cetera, leaving their job.
Mm-hmm.
Same with any basic corporation, okay? Do you find that the what you're hearing from the trainers is that it's easier these days for them to use an LMS, okay, and that the employees are used to that sort of thing because they're on their computers, their iPhones all the time, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah.
Okay. I guess I'm asking a long-winded question here, but you know, it's 21st and a half century learning. We're in 2015.
Right.
It's very different. And the LMS it has become the thing, as opposed to a speaker coming in, and that was the only thing.
Right.
What are you hearing, you know, in terms of generations? That, I guess maybe that's the question.
I hear a couple of things. The learning management system itself, I think, is a lot easier to deploy. And then, you know, for example, in ours, in version 8, there's a TurboTax kind of a tool. If you use TurboTax to turn your taxes, it's TurboTax for courses. So it's like ask you 6 questions, you answer the questions, you upload your syllabus, you click a button, and voila, you have a course. So really easy to deploy, which is something corporations absolutely have to have. And I find
right.
that professors aren't above that either, just FYI. So, you know, I think that the LMS is easier to deploy. It's easier to use. It's now the pendulum has swung away from the programmers creating these software systems to, oh, yeah, we have better make it, you know, very few clicks, no expandable trees, simple, 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 which is also just plain old good design, which also works for mobile, you know, so this is all working together. But I also find that the course designers have had to switch gears. There was a time, I think, when you could post a one-hour video and expect somebody's attention. But, you know, they're saying that students in college, coming into college right now, freshmen, their attention span is evidently 7 seconds long, which is the attention of a goldfish. So, I mean, now you can't stay there. You know, I hope the colleges are helping them with that. But you can't give them a 3-hour lecture and expect them to retain anything beyond 7 seconds first. Now, what do you do? So the trainers in corporation, they're adapting to this. I don't see higher ed adapting to this very much. But the trainers in corporation, they have to adapt because these are the people that are being hired. They have no choice. This is what is being turned out. You know, this is what they have to choose from. So they're making everything bite-sized. And TED Talks are a good example of short snippet videos where it's presenting some information and then you have some interaction to prove that you've got the information, then you move on. And that leads you back to adaptive learning, where what if you didn't get the information? That's the other thing about traditional learning is there's a lot of assumptions in that model that you're talking about, where there's a trainer in front of the whole class talking. There's an assumption that you're getting the information, and that's where assessment can help because, you know, if you flunk the assessment, you didn't get it. That's a good way of knowing. But what if, you know, your goal is not to flunk people or prove that they flunk? You know, I have a lot of open enrollment schools. Their idea is not to go the traditional route with their students. Some of their students have never gone to high school and can barely read, and they're learning these skills in college. So they can't employ those traditional 3-hour lectures and an assessment. They've got to present a path to the learner, and it has to be very flexible. It's a path that adapts to them, gives them additional information, retest them on that area, and then move them along. No more passing them along to the next grade level, which I think is a lot of people's complaint with K-12.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. This is really great stuff. We're going to have to end in a few minutes, Kath, but let's do a little plug here. What's new with Advanced 360? Just brag a little bit. What's the hot stuff?
Well, I'd say version 8, very exciting. It contains a complete rewrite, which software companies just have to do. That course design wizard that I was talking about is very impactful. You know, just a couple of clicks of a button, you've got yourself a course. Very simple. Dashboards, some other tools that we designed for corporate clients that just came out. Very exciting. To me, reports are disappearing and dashboards are replacing them completely. And then the social learning side of things is always, always essential. That even now it's still evolving. Badges, we've had badges for a while, but how do you use them? How do you use them to motivate learners?
Mm-hmm.
And
there's a whole movement to do that in education.
There's a whole
movement.
There is.
Yeah, it used to be people thought you just got an emblem on your website and it was meaningless, but they're not meaningless.
No, and corporations know it.
Yeah, Yeah, yes. They're not meaningless.
Now, I would say they mean what you make them mean. So that's the first part of that. But corporations know it's also marketing. You know, a lot of my clients, they purchase my LMS and they sell it to their clients. It's called whitelisting. And so when they use badges, they, you know, for example, say a coaching program and they're training coaches and the coaches turn mm-hmm. around and train other people. So they get this nice little coaching badge that they put on their blog or their website. And when somebody clicks on that coaching badge because maybe they're interested in coaching, it takes them to my client's website where they can click and buy the program. The corporations understand this is great marketing.
It is great marketing, okay? And I always like to tell people this. Digital badges are not like a LinkedIn endorsement, okay?
Yes.
I get endorsed for welding and waffle making, and I don't know anything
sure.
about either of them, you know? But
okay.
digital badges and certifications digitally are it's a growing thing, and they're becoming more and more important and extremely realistic as they are assessed before the badge is given, and there are assessment companies out there. Okay. How do people
yeah.
get in touch with you? Do I just give them the website? Advance360.
Yeah,
website. Go ahead.
Mm-hmm. Advance360.com. And then Twitter address is Advance360LMS. My blog is Advance360.wordpress.com. And they can always email me, Kathy.Garland@Advance360.com.
She is Kathy.Garland@Advance360.com. Kathy, it's great to have you on. You know that.
Yes, it's wonderful talking to you again.
We'll do some more. You take care of yourself. Enjoy the good weather down there in North Carolina, okay? Promise me?
Yeah, you too. I will.
Thanks,
Kathy. Talk to you later.
Thank you.
Right.
Bye. Kathy Garland. Okay, Garland. I think she pronounces it Garland. Okay, the Vice President of Sales and Marketing at Advance 360. She knows her stuff. Advance360.com. All right, and then they tweet at Advance 360 LMS. We're going to archive the show two places, corporatetrainingradio.wordpress.com and also at education-talkradio.org. And we're going to tweet it out at HR Training Radio. And we hope you follow us. Just keep doing that. Let people know we're around. We're getting a lot of good listenership. We appreciate everything everybody's doing out there. All right. We have another show tomorrow. The show is at 10:30 in the morning Eastern with Howard Prager, a very well-known ATD facilitator, lecturer, etc. And we're going to be talking about crisis in leadership training, and it Howard knows his stuff. It's going to be great, and I'm looking forward to that. But will he be as great as Kathy was today? We'll find out. Okay, I hope you listen to both. Let us know. Retweet the tweet that we're going to send out. My name's Larry Jacobs. This is Corporate Training Talk Radio. Thanks so much for listening. Have a great day.